Hi, everyone. Okay, can you hear me? All right. My name's Cara Mikus. I'm a litigation paralegal from Denver. I'm here, obviously, to help maybe translate some of this, but also to make it more understandable to the average individual, and then maybe answer some more technical questions if I can. So, with that, we are watching 10 Rules for Dealing with Police this evening, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, so while the film's a little dated, the majority of the information in it is very pertinent and can help keep your life from becoming a legal nightmare. I say dated on some of it. When the gentleman was talking about your presentation of IDs out on the street, I'm not certain. I think some of those things may have changed from state to state since this was done. I think you need to look into that if that's a question for you. As far as one of his last comments, last night we had a panelist here that said or likened cops to vampires. If you don't invite them in, they're not getting in, so just don't do it. sorry, they were a little shiny.
If an officer is detaining you, do you have the right to ask them what their reasonable suspicious or probable cause is?
I didn't realize I needed a mic. I was going to ask, if you are detained by the police, do they have to inform you on request about what their reasonable suspicion or probable cause is?
I don't believe so. Okay. And I'm going to preface that with I generally work in civil litigation, so I'm not entirely sure on that. I would say that offhand, I generally would not start asking questions because that invites conversation. And invites more questions. And as he said, remaining silent is salient. So,
The comment they made at the beginning about the Miranda rights, so is it true that they don't have to read you the Miranda rights?
You know, it is to some extent, and that may also be a state-to-state thing. I know that when you are arrested for DUIs and such, they do not have to read you your Miranda rights. I think the circumstances would actually address how, I'm certain there's somewhere that's written down, but yeah, we go through life thinking if you get arrested, you need to be Mirandized, and if they don't Mirandize you, you can get out of that when it comes to court. It's not that simple anymore, and it's not well-defined. So, yeah, I wish I had more information on that. I don't.
Is an open door or an unlocked door, whether it's your house or a car, are either of those probable cause?
Your homes and your cars are completely two different subject matter type situations. They need less probable cause to search your car. There's a lot more that comes into play there. If your door is closed, however, on your home, the visual also comes into play. So let's say that you have a glass door, but you can't see in, which is why all those people have those nice glass doors. It's very difficult to make out what's actually on the inside. They can't see in, then they don't have any visible probable cause to enter. Otherwise, if you just have a normal door and you have it closed, they can't come in. If you walk outside your door when they ring the doorbell, like if you were that old lady, if you'd walked outside and closed the door behind you and said, no, I'm sorry, you can't come in, you don't have a warrant, they can't see, the door's not open, and that pretty much just stops them from doing anything. Again, it's how much they can see. So car being another situation altogether.
I just wanted to make a comment on Miranda. Miranda only applies to custodial interrogation, so if you're at a police station, then by all means, they're going to need to read you your Miranda rights before they can continue to interrogate you. But if you're not in custody, in handcuffs, back of a cop car, at a police station, somehow in custody, they're not required to read you your Miranda rights. The other thing is whenever you invoke your rights, never say maybe or I think or anything like that. That word alone will make your invocation of your rights equivocal, and it won't apply.
Right. You have to use strong language when you're asserting your rights. I want to speak to an attorney, not I think I need to, but I want to. So, very good point. Thank you.
I know Arizona passed a law that said that one must present ID on demand, and I know that's being challenged in the courts. Are there any other states that have done that?
You're in one right now.
Georgia passed the law, HB 87, very recently. It's basically copycat legislation of the Arizona law. If the cops pull you over stop you on the street even for, like, any kind of thing, and they have reasonable suspicion of you being an illegal alien, a.k.a. not white, or, you know, basically, they're not going to stop me. Like, my mother was an immigrant, but, like, and stuff like that, and they have the right to, like, ask for your identification, and that is being challenged in court right now, but it's here in Georgia.
Thank you. It should be noted, though, too, that reasonable suspicion can come about from you walking down the street and tripping on a rock. I mean, in all seriousness. Now, I want to take a step back for a moment and say to everyone, while this is great, informative, you know, presentation, not all the police that are out there are going for blood. There's the vampire thing again. They're really not. You know, there are still good cops, and there are cops that have a certain agenda in mind. And, you know, your attitude is going to define, as well as your knowledge, how your police encounter takes place.
As someone who's not an American citizen, would my rights be less if I'm stopped going back to Canada? Or how would any of this apply to me if they demanded to see ID, or if they demanded to search my rental car? Or
I don't think your rights would be less. I'm not sure that your citizenship to degree, and also, you know, this depends on what you're doing when you're stopped, is going to affect it. So I think generally they're just rights across the board until such time as something else comes into play. That's a very good question and one I should research.
I just want to make a couple of comments. I work with a number of freedom and liberty groups, and with cops, they're there for the particular reason of enforcing laws. They're not thugs. They're not there to harass you or things like that. And though those things may occur, they have a very strict code of conduct that they need to follow, and they're there, in fact, to enforce laws. And make sure you keep that in mind when you run into cops. They're there because they're trying to enforce an existing law. The second thing I want to make is that, as a secondary point of that, is that when a man comes up to you and he's got a gun and a nightstick and a bunch of friends on a radio, that this is a situation you need to take very seriously. And just because there may be laws that prevent that, if anybody else came up to you with a gun and a nightstick and a taser and radio to call friends, you need to understand that you're in a situation to where you're at a distinct disadvantage, and you need to respect that situation and understand exactly what's going on, because these are people. They have families and lives and interests all outside of yours, and though they may have a job that says they're there to follow a law, they're still people.
As far as having a firearm on your hip as you're in the car, is it better if you get pulled over to just leave it in the holster or set it in plain sight on the seat?
Okay, a firearm on your hip, I think, would generally require a permit.
I do have
in
a permit.
Vehicle. Okay.
You don't need a permit to have a firearm in your car. In Georgia, you do not need a permit to have it in your house, your car, or your place of business. It must be in open view or locked in the glove box.
Right, and in Colorado, that's true as well. I can have a gun holster slung over the back of my seat. As long as the cop can see it, you know, it's legal. That's something that varies state to state, and the permit and what you're allowed to do with it changes the situation. And
If it's in plain view or would become in plain view if you stepped out of the car, then you can advise the officer that you have it for safety.
Yeah.
The question about producing an ID may be debatable and changing, but I think there's a general rule that you have to give them a correct name. In other words, if you don't give them a correct name, that's an entirely different problem from whatever the ID rule is. I think fairly general. You have to correctly identify yourself when you are asked to.
Is an officer required to legally to correctly inform you of the law if you request information? If you say, am I required to provide my name, and they tell you incorrectly on purpose or accidentally, and you comply based on that information, I mean, should you comply based on the information? Should you ever ask? Should you just say, I'm not going to ask, I'm going to assume that they can lie and it's not worth even trying?
Well, as stated, they can legally lie to you. I mean, so you can request the information. That doesn't mean that they necessarily have to provide it to you. I would think that unless you really have something to hide, trying to comply with whatever, for the most part, up until the point when you go, now I see some potential danger coming down this path, I'm going to say, you know, no, thank you, I'm plead the fifth, I want my attorney, something along those lines. But I think for the most part, just generally complying with their request is the safest way to go. I mean, I don't think they have any real reason why they have to tell you anything. Should. So.
I had a question along the lines of weapons transport. If you did have, because I was trying to figure out what the laws were, because they vary state to state, but if you had your weapon locked in a glove box and the cop asked, if you got pulled over and he asked if you had any weapons, and you said, yes, I have it in here, if he directs you, okay, step out of the car, I will get it, and then are you allowed to retrieve it from the glove box? Because I would be afraid that, not because I've seen it happen before, that the cop will say, no, I will retrieve it, and then they start searching for other things on that way. Is there any way that you're allowed to produce it?
As I understand it, and you are correct in that they do vary state to state, unless you have a permit for a concealed weapon, you probably should not have that locked in your glove box. It needs to be out in plain view, and they need to be advised of it the moment they walk up. And unless I'm incorrect on that, and there's something's changed, I think it's generally not okay to have it locked away out of sight. So, and again, it varies state to state, but I would say don't do that.
Well, I know that there's a certain, you can have weapons that you don't have permits for. Like, there's something weird about, like, if it's a non-firing weapon or if it's like some kind of some different weird kind of weapon, but they can be like old antique guns, things that you're just selling. Like, if somebody bought it from eBay, so you don't have an actual, it's not registered, like that you're transporting it, that if you keep it locked in your trunk, you're allowed to do that. There's some weird law about that. Like, if it's something that, Okay.
And that may be true. I mean, to the extent that they weren't loaded and were, you know, locked away in cases, but in your trunk and well outside of your ability to reach it, you know, that may be true, but again, very state to state, so
and
I would certainly check.
It's part of, like, pocket knives. I saw something where a person had, they had a pocket knife that was in their back pocket, but they had been sitting on it and it had fallen out, and when the police officer asked them if they had any weapons, he said no, and he got out, and when he got out, there was a pocket knife that had been underneath him, and then the cop gave him a citation for carrying a concealed weapon that he didn't produce. How do knives fit in with that, and is that an appropriate, well, can you give me an example of a state what that would be?
I'm not entirely certain on that. I will tell you that in that type of situation, that would be one of those instances where you're actually going to have to take that citation to court and argue it. You know, you could say, I didn't consider a weapon as a pocket knife, you know, or it wasn't on me at the time, I'd forgotten it was in the car. There are a million reasons why you can argue these things, but you actually have to get to court to do it. So
about the pocket knives, at least here in Georgia, like,
well, the mic's out here, Ben, but you should probably use one of the mics up there.
You know what?
Right. How about not her mic?
So that she can actually answer these questions.
All right. Right now I'm looking up the, trying to look at the statute on the gun, but here in Georgia, the pocket knife, whether or not it's a weapon, is determined by the size. I believe under 5 inches, it's not considered.
Four in Colorado.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I believe here in Georgia, under 5 inches, it's not considered a weapon. And as far as being in your glove box, I was recently looking through this. If it's unloaded, and locked in your glove box, that's permissible without the license. But you certainly don't want to open up your glove box looking for your registration and have the,
the gun
officer
fall out.
And have the officer see that weapon. Here in Georgia, a lot of the officers are very understanding of people exercising their Second Amendment rights, and if you advise the officer that you have that,
they're forgiving.
Yes.
A little bit more.
I personally, before I got my weapons carry license, I just kept it on the front passenger seat out in plain view.
Unless, of course, you've disturbed that cop's reading time, and, well, then it's all gone to hell.
Or that cop's porn of the time. Just as an aside for everyone here in Georgia, specifically in Savannah as of 3 years ago, because my mom ran into this, they will present to you a little card that says, okay, please sign this. And on this card, it specifically says, I hereby waive any and all rights that are pertaining to this, and I hereby consent to all searches and seizures. Now, this is in Savannah, which is 4 hours away to the coast, so they might not be doing this statewide. But to reiterate the point, if the cop asks you to sign anything, read it first, even if he is trying to pressure you. Because by signing that, you have legally given away all rights.
I think that goes with anything. And any time you go to apply your signature to any document, you need to take the time to read it. Just for example, earlier today, on this table, we found a contract for a purchase of one human soul. So I'm sure as hell not signing this, but I might work on getting a couple other people to sign it. Read it.
What if you were being prosecuted by the city and it was just a simple, you know, like disorderly conduct, like a misdemeanor, but the victim did not want to prosecute you? Can the city still prosecute you? Or can they pursue the charges?
If you were
being prosecuted by the city,
mm-hmm.
but the victim didn't want you to go to jail or didn't want to prosecute
okay.
you.
I see. Yes, actually, in specific situations in that would be like cases of domestic violence, and situations like that. So yes, the city can go ahead and prosecute you too, and it depends on their laws. And again, it's all state and city municipality driven. You know, so I can't speak to the situation broadly. Obviously, you need to go back and check where you're at. But in Colorado, for example, they can go ahead and prosecute for certain situations. So
I have two questions for you. First one is, especially with as many dark country roads as there are and a lot of unmarked police cars driving up and down 95, if you're being, you know, pulled over and you can't identify that it is a cop car, is there anything you can do to protect yourself?
It's my understanding that you can drive to a safely lit area and then ask the cop to get a second officer there as well so that you can verify identification.
And then if you say, like, you know, they say you can say no, I don't want to be searched and things like that, and although at the time it may help you, in court, does it not look bad if something were to, you know what I mean?
Well, I guess it all depends on the dramatic skills of your attorney. So, I mean, it can be turned around to look bad, and it's situational. I mean, if you've got a pound and a half of cocaine in your trunk, and you're like, don't search my trunk, and they do, yeah, sure, that's going to look bad. Or, you know, the dead body in the trunk is another one. So, I mean, but if it's just, it was an innocent thing, and, you know, they found some reason to try and prosecute you that can get thrown out and should be, you know, the dramatic skills of your attorney can get that situation turned around. So,
a lot of people are asking about weapons. I wanted to pass around just one piece of advice that I received. When a cop pulls you over on the street, the first thing he does is run your plates, which takes a minute or two. Go ahead and just get your license and registration out, because you know you're going to get asked for it, and hold it on the steering wheel with both hands so that at no point either of your hands is out of the cop's sight. Then you just basically tilt it over, let him take it, and that will at least help, A, let the cop be less agitated, and B, it would allow you to say, if the weapon becomes a problem later on, that at all points in time, both your hands were visible to the officer.
That's good advice.
If you're reaching around your car, you're being pulled over, they can say, I think he was hiding something.
Yes.
That was previously in plain sight, so they can now search for it.
The fact that you reach in your pocket and do something immediately upon being pulled over to get your registration ready.
It's just like running away from the police.
They're already seeking. They're already afraid.
You should be very, very still.
I was pulled over and searched for a blinker or something, and the cop ended up taking me out of the car because he said he found a marijuana seed in my car, which to the day I never saw. He never pointed out. Could I have asked him and said, show me where this seed is? Like, he never pulled me out. He pointed through the window down onto the floor and then ended up pulling me out and writing a ticket for it. I never went back for the seed he found in my car. Is there anything I could have done for that?
I would say that he would have probably had to have produced that as evidence in court. I mean, you could have fought that, I'm thinking. So, yeah.
I found a pump suspiciously.
I hear a lot of references to this state and that state. Is there a singular, I'm going to crowdsource this question, is there a singular source online that you can go to find out, say you're traveling through X number of states? This site will have state specific legislation regarding weapons and regarding searches and things like that. All right.
I had a question regarding one of the things in the video. It's like if you see the blue lights to pull over immediately. Well, I heard a lot of things like, you know, like being a woman and especially like, you know, driving through like, you know, South Georgia, like on the way to Florida, like if it's like a stretch of really dark highway, that I have the right to wait to like, you know, turn on both of my like hazard lights and like drive very slowly and like go to the next well-lit place.
Right.
And stuff, because like I've known people who've been assaulted by cops and I'm not comfortable like stopping on a dark stretch of highway with them.
That's my understanding.
But I've also like I've been pulled over before and I've like gone to like the next like gas station or like something like a block away and I've had the cop yell at me for it. So can I tell him, hey, I have the right to be pulled over in a well-lit area where there's lots of witnesses?
I'm not sure I'd approach it with exactly that context, but I think I would say, I'm sorry, I wanted to make sure that I was in a well-lit area. Not necessarily asserting the fact that you think the guy's a douchebag.
somebody asked about all the state laws for concealed carry. Go to carryconcealed.net. And they list all the different statutes for all the states.
You had said something before about that gentleman was asking if he was going down a dark road and somebody pulled him over and he's not 100% sure it's a cop.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ask the other cop to call backup, or do you call 911 while you're waiting, or what?
I believe, and again, this is something that I have not read the statutory information on, I believe that the way that this transaction is supposed to take place is while you are on the way to the well-lit area, you call 911 and ask for a second car. If you don't have a cell phone, obviously that's not an option.
You can get fake badges and fake sirens, and there's actually, in Maryland, there was actually a case prosecuted where a man was doing that.
Yeah, no.
Pulling them over on highways.
Right.
So. There's just one last thing I wanted to put forth. We're living in a new age of data and internet, and this is your best friend. Two things you need to make sure you do is that the application you have on there will record stuff in real time, and it will also upload it to the internet as it's recording. Because if you are caught recording police officer, oftentimes they're not happy with this. They'll take your phone, take your SIM card, but if your stuff is actually uploading in real time to a source somewhere else, you can retrieve that information later. And there's applications for Android, BlackBerry, and iPhone, and pretty much every other phone out there to do that.
There's an app for that.
I like to hike on the Appalachian Trail, and I have my own concealed carry permit. When I'm hiking, as we get up towards the Tennessee border, I'd like to know, does my concealed carry permit for Georgia carry over for Tennessee? No.
Yeah.
So I need to get my own concealed carry for Tennessee or whichever, however far up I like to hike.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's so many different laws in place with concealed weapons, and again, it varies from state to state. So I could tell you that no, you couldn't do that to Tennessee, but whatever the next border state was, sure. Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense to turn over to a federal law? That way, there's no question.
We don't want the feds involved.
Yeah. All the states have the same law.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, hypothetically, if you were to discover that you are the head of a criminal conspiracy to blow up credit card buildings, would you want to turn yourself into the police at the risk of your balls, or no?
One second.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that terribly.
Can everybody please stop their own conversations while questions are being asked and answered, please? Thank you.
I had just something to say about your comment over there about what you're signing. At least know that when you get pulled over, if you get a ticket for speeding, if you get a ticket for anything, you have to sign that in Georgia or they can arrest you.
Yes, you can read it, but you have to sign it. If you're in Georgia, you have to sign it. If you're in Wisconsin, you have no law here. In Wisconsin, you do not have to sign anything from the police. And
I actually, about the recording police thing, if you are in a public area, you are completely alive. If the event happens in a public place, you are allowed to record the police. If you, in Atlanta, in Georgia, at least, you can do that. Even if something happens, if you are in if it's private property, I think.
No. Yeah, I was talking about documenting as a crime. Not a crime, but the police.
Yeah. Right? If they pull us over, they can report us.
Reciprocity for firearms license.
One state, really?
No, any green and yellow? Or any of the green ones?
Oh, the full reciprocity.
Yeah.
Okay, one last question.
If I can... I'd like to respond to the question earlier about Tennessee. If you go to georgiapacking.org, it has a map that shows all the states that have reciprocity with Georgia as far as the firearms license. And Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, and North Carolina do. South Carolina does not. Now there is a caveat to this. They accept the Georgia weapons carry license as their own, but you still have to follow that state's laws. So before you go there, you must look up that state's laws and fully understand them to be safe.
Do all police cars do they record audio and video? Can you assume that whenever you're being stopped by a police car that it is being filmed, and if it goes to court, you'll have access to that?
You'd like to, but I don't think that everybody's set up that way. So, for example, I got a ticket for making a right turn illegally, and there was no camera. I requested all that, and they said, we don't have a camera in that. So, right.
Okay. All right, I'm going to need to wrap it up here. Round of applause for this group. And thank you very much.